You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 179, Yoda AI Bot. Interview with Anjali Jain.
Strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. That was a clip from New Soul by Yael Naim. She's an acclaimed singer-songwriter from Israel, and you may recognize that song because it gained a lot of fame as the music played during Apple's MacBook Air ad campaign a couple of years ago. I really like the song and her other music, so stay tuned for the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. In this episode, I talk with Anjali Jain. She's the founder and chairman of the board of Unified. We discuss Yoda, their AI-powered bot with SIS and LMS integration that automates responses to student and faculty FAQs. We discuss the genesis of Yoda. As she puts it, the digital campus, a GUI-less experience. Yoda can be used as an automated FAQ system for the entire student life cycle. I was surprised to learn that voice accounts for about 60% of help interactions. I didn't think it would be that high with the millennials that don't like to talk on the phone, but apparently that's not the case. Yoda has multiple communication modes. We discuss how Yoda authenticates users and hands off to human helpers, and how AI is used in Yoda. So I think you'll find this interesting. I was very intrigued about the use of Yoda. I saw a demo at the recent D2L Fusion conference, and I was pretty impressed. So I'd like to spread the word. So here you go. Enjoy the interview with Anjali Jain. Anjali, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me today and my audience. I'm interested to hear a lot more about your Yoda AI bot. Before we get into that, though, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and the company?
Sure. And Rodney, thanks so much for having me. It's been a wonderful opportunity meeting you recently, and I appreciate the interest in Yoda and what we're doing here at Unified with AI and AI bot tech. So just quickly, I founded an ed tech company, a nonprofit, in 2003. I've dedicated thereafter my entire career to helping education, specifically higher education institutions around the world, partner with one another in building kind of cutting, bleeding edge technology solutions that can help them innovate and differentiate themselves in the market. That's where I've come from. Unified, I founded circa about 2013, or what's now known as Unified, and its mission and thesis is to improve the student experience, partner with institutions, again, globally to do that, not just cost effectively, but more importantly, looking at how to improve the online or fully online I'll call it the digital campus experience, recognizing that that's where a lot of the return on investment can come from in solutions like Unify that are essentially providing a digital campus environment or ecosystem for the non-traditional or even traditional learners. And so my focus has been on really identifying what we call development partners in the last, especially 12 to 16 months. And Yoda has come out of that initiative of starting to identify institutions that are looking for really unique ways in providing a more interactive conversational experience, kind of like a GUI-less experience, I would say, of the student system or the digital campus environment. Yoda was born out of discussions around how do we do that? What's the best way that this can be introduced? And we looked at AI tech, we looked at bot tech, we looked at chatbot tech. And so the first foray has been how to do it where it starts to get that aha moment and the light bulbs going off for campuses that are now outside of the development partners.
It's very interesting. I think the audio as a computer interface is obviously really skyrocketing with Amazon's Echo, and everybody's putting a voice interface. And of course, students, as we know, they don't carry around their heavy laptops anymore. They seem to do everything on their phones. When I met you at the Fusion conference, I thought this was really an interesting way to communicate with students. I know there are probably other bots out there. Why don't you tell us a little bit, I guess, first, who's your audience? Is it mostly higher ed?
Yes. Yeah. Our audience in Unified is higher ed today. That's our focus.
Okay. Is this bot used once the student is on campus as a way to alert them about coursework, or is it more before they are matriculated in trying to engage applicants, potential students? How does it, what environment are you working?
So from the Unified perspective, because of our focus, not just on higher ed, but on the digital campus experience, we looked at use cases actually throughout the whole life cycle, starting from prospective students who are coming off of, let's say, the public website or let's say marketing kind of material through to applying to being accepted, matriculated, and then whether or not they're coming on campus, assisting in the, let's call it commonly asked questions of access usually or submission of assignments through now to even looking at beyond that, let's call it the online learner or alternatively the lifelong learner who is no longer maybe fully invested full time as a student. We would call that non-traditional in our space. How do we cater to those users as well that are not just not only coming on campus, but they're interacting with the institution, taking online certificate degrees or online programs? So this is the user, so to speak, that we looked at with a bit more emphasis on that kind of online experience, whether fully online, partially online, because we see that's the trending in terms of investment and where this experientially needs to have an impact, right? I'll just add to that a little bit in terms of the user in and of itself. You mentioned, you know, is it for someone who's, you know, coming on campus or it's to assist afterwards? What we envisioned when we were working with our development partners vis-a-vis the problem that we were looking to solve was really threefold, right? One was that, we have limited resources in higher ed and in many cases for many of our institutions in Unified, increasingly so, you know, whether it's caused by budget cuts or just the fact that there's more work to do, there's more tech to manage. And so the first problem that we're going to solve is how do we augment the existing resources without necessarily adding full-time resources. So how do we give them more arms, legs, eyes, ears to address commonly asked questions? Because that's usually where the redundancy, repetitiveness could be at least low-hanging fruit, save time. So that was the first thing. How do we give time back and more availability back to an institution of their existing resources?
So, yeah, I have a couple of questions about that. Now,
sure.
When I think of a bot, I think of a text chat bot on a phone or on a website, a little box that pops up on your website. Tell us a little bit more about the different modes of communicating with that bot.
Yeah. So we saw the same thing, right? The second we started talking about bot tech with our schools, it was chat, right, and SMS. But if we look at the data of current student interaction, and you made a point before about their carrying mobile devices, whether those are tablets or smartphones, there's a larger picture, right, which is telephony today is the number one, at least from a data standpoint. It comprises of more than 50%, usually on average 60 to 70% of interactions still happen on the phone. That was
really
one. The second is that it's happening after hours. after 5 o'clock. So when we looked at bot tech, we were like, certainly we don't want to reinvent the wheel. And I'll talk about that perhaps on the back end. But what that means is that from a bot standpoint, you're absolutely right. It has to do the chat bit because it can be embedded then on a web kind of presence. And mobile, right, in terms of extensibility, SMS. Let's say these are a given because the precedent is already there. Mm-hmm. However, we saw it needs to have an interface on the telephony side because of where the current interactions are. In the Fusion conference, I started with to try to get that aha moment with the voice demo of Yoda, where it was essentially deployed in front of an IVR. So the point being that if most of the interactions today are coming from a voice-based, questions and answers, let's just say on the telephony front, then intelligence in terms of automation has to come in front of that, right? Or sit on top of it, just like you've seen chatbots sitting on top of a website or in front of a web front end. So we looked at how do we do that? And that being super important. So on the interface side, to go to your question, we thought telephony is super important. The other thing that we saw that's super important is that it has to also recognize your identity, right? Sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how you identify the person on the other end. In fact, the other thing I'm surprised you say that so much of the communication is through the telephone, whereas millennials don't like to talk on the phone. Is this their parents that are calling in for them?
Well, I think it's because the lack of the ability to have ubiquity in the ability to ask questions forces users to say, well, I don't know where. So let's maybe that's a really good point. The expectation, I would say, of a millennial is that they should be able to go anywhere and get their question answered, right? And frankly, that they shouldn't have to dig through a search engine or search box to do so. The problem today is that most schools don't have an environment where that can happen. So the default becomes, well, you know what? I'm just going to pick up the phone because that's faster.
Yeah, good point.
And that's, I think, what's supporting the data. That being said, in order to get started on the AI front to address the problems that I mentioned, right, in terms of adding more resource availability and reducing the workload of existing resources, we have to provide that interface in order to have that outcome. Because if we just roll only web chat or mobile chat or SMS, the results won't be realized. And I have seen this firsthand in one of the partners that Unified works with, which is Black Belt Help, where a lot of this data pool came from. They have more than 200 institutions, and we looked at their data to make these decisions on why telephony and where can those savings come in terms of time and where are they currently going in terms of time. So that's where the telephony bit comes in from.
You're about to say how you authenticate somebody before I interrupted. So how do you authenticate somebody that's coming on the phone? And let's say they're a prospective student, or maybe they're accepted. So you have to identify them and pass it on to the right people at the university. So how do you go about identifying them? And how does that change once they become matriculated students?
Yep. Those are really good questions. And when we as Unified looked at what was in the market, the telephony challenge and this challenge became why we therefore ended up realizing that, you know what, we're going to have to take what's out there in terms of what Google has done and what Amazon has done, but we're going to have to really build towards these specific use cases. So identity, very, very important question. I'm going to start with what do schools do today, right? And then how AI, specifically Yoda, has been built to take what they're doing today and bring it into the AI front. So today, just quickly, right, the process is that there'll be a service desk, right, if it's during, you know, business hours, and someone will call in, whether they're affiliated, not affiliated, and there'll be a series of procedural check and balance questions, right, that will then say, okay, you're asking this question, I'm going to verify you. Right. Mm-hmm. So just quickly, if you're usually an existing student or faculty member, there's something called a university ID or UD ID. Right. That will be like a verification. There'll be some other verification questions. And then I'm going to start giving you answers, right? So there's a workflow. What we did on the Yoda side is we looked at that workflow and said two things. Number one, for schools that have built these workflows, these are usually called knowledge-based articles where these workflows are written out. We realized that one important factor is not to reinvent that wheel, right? If that collateral and that IP is already there, Yoda needs to leverage that. And so integration to this question and answer bank, and usually this collateral sits in like a service desk tool, like Freshdesk or Zendesk or something similar. We specifically used Salesforce with our development partners to get started. So therefore, it can go through the process firstly of going through that workflow, doing that verification, and giving you the information. That's one way to address the identity question. The second way to do it, which is more interesting and more, I think, where this gets really exciting and what also differentiates Yoda from everything else and why we realize we have to do this, is it has to integrate with the identity service of the institution. Basically, how do you today get access to your grades if you're a student? You authenticate, right? You log in. Yoda has to integrate with those providers on the back end so that it can do the same thing. So one of the ways we got started was with password reset. Again, data, more than 60% and arguably up to 80%, and this data comes from, again, our partner, Black Belt Help, is still forgot, change, password reset. Fundamental kind of repetitive issues that take a lot of workload or bring in a lot of workload into the existing staff. And so we looked at solving that problem. And what we did is we integrated with an identity service provider, which is Quick Launch, which does single sign-on, password reset, authentication, provisioning, deprovisioning. And because that is another partner of ours on the identity management side, we said Yoda has to be able to take a query like I forgot my password and not just go through that whole ecosystem of validating, giving you an answer, but doing it in a way that's also secure, right? Like through MFA or an OTP or a code-based, hey, you got a text message. So we integrated with Quick Launch to solve for that and address that problem statement. The other thing that we did is we've dropped Yoda, think of a service, right? Like any service, like even let's say D2L, right? We met there. So I'm going to use that example. You know, you have the pre-login and the post-login. And there's information on the pre-login because you're a guest and the post-login because of your role. So what we also did is we have Yoda now recognizing an individual's role. This is called role-based affiliation or role-based access control, RBAC is the technical term. So that when you, let's say in the example that you just gave me, you're now logged in, right? And now you have a query. By integrating with the, let's say, directory service or the authentication service, let's say Active Directory or Quick Launch, one, it auto-recognizes that it's Rodney, right? And it's not John. And the second is that because it recognizes a role, right? And it can pull from that. It also knows that Rodney's a faculty member and not a student. And so it can help automate the workflow of that validation, but also doesn't take 1 to 2 minutes for just asking you who you are and what you need access to. So these are two just starting points in terms of the how. How does it recognize who you are? That's through authentication and by integrating with those authentication services. And the second is by role-based access control.
I'm curious how it works. Let's say you're on the phone and then there's some information that you're told, okay, so you need to log in. And what if I'm now, you know, it's a student, so they're walking through campus and then they sit down at a computer lab or whatever. Is there a handoff that they sort of can continue the conversation, mm-hmm. you know, or do they have to like start all over again? How does that get handed off?
So, and again, great question. So that seamlessness of the session, I'll call it, and the fact that you don't have to restart or start afresh that conversation is because that point of authentication, right? Just like when you log into a service, right? And so basically it's dynamically handing you off through that authentication process. I'll just take an example like the one you mentioned, right? So let's say you and I are chatting, right? And I'm Yoda and you're the student in this case. And the question is, hey, you know, when's the next bus, right? Or to Chick-fil-A or wherever it is. I thought when you said they sit down, they're going to go to Chick-fil-A, because that's like, I would say if you did a heat map of a school, it's usually the eating spots. But, you know, let's say that you want to, or a map, or how do I get from A to B, right? But then your next question is, well, hey, can you pull up my grades? So what's going to happen right there is if it's Yoda via the telephony, right? And we're actually chatting, it's going to say, hey, Rodney, okay, can you give me your UDID number, right? Or can you give me whatever the differentiator is of that uniquely identifies you that the school uses today, right? I'm going to use UDID. You're going to punch in 1234, right? Or you're going to say 1234. I'm going to say, thanks, Rodney. So your grades are X, right? An A. You did an A. and so that's the way it would happen seamlessly. Now there's stuff happening on the back end in terms of to make that technologically seamless, but that's the way that we've built Yoda with that in mind. Otherwise, it's going to be choppy. And then you have this issue of, well, I have to restart this whole conversation, and the frustration as a customer, right, of just a bad customer experience.
Now, you mentioned use AI, and I know that's a buzzword. A lot of companies throw AI in there. In my simplistic view of this, it would be an algorithm based on an if-then tree. So how do you use AI in your product?
And so firstly, I think great point, right? AI is kind of a key term, and higher ed, we have this tendency of just as soon as something gets hot, everything becomes that enabled, right? And so there are two ways that this works, right? One is that you're right. There's the programmatic side. Ultimately, this is a program, right? It's taking information, it's processing it, and it's rolling towards a certain set of outcomes, right? The AI part of it is really powered by two things, right? One is the experience. So the point of having a good customer experience. And the second is that it's got to take from existing information, the example I gave of the existing, let's say, Q&A answer bank, and learn off of that, right? Because it's got to continue, it's got to be fed firstly, and then it's got to be maintained in terms of corrected, improved. And so it's a two-way street, right? And when we say AI, we don't mean that it's Yoda, for example, in this case, is coming out of the gate, knowing what your institution needs, what problems it's going to solve. It has to start with taking existing data sources, looking at what you want to have happen, and then continuing to, we call it training, right? So that it can learn what the either correct outcomes are or the improved outcomes are if something isn't maybe meeting the objectives.
So what happens when Yoda doesn't have an answer and there's got to be a handoff to a real person, or and that might even be after hours and there's nobody around. So how is that handled?
So I'm going to talk about how we're doing it. And I think, again, this is something we saw as a gap in the current bot tech that's there, right? Which is what we've done is, at least for right now with our development partners, we've integrated with NICE or previously in contact. And so what will happen is once in the workflow, there's a point where either Yoda doesn't have the answer, right? Because it's not been baked into the ecosystem. There's, let's say, a frustration level that's been noted, or redundancy in question that it's gotten to question, same question three times, and the person's still like, hey, you've not answered. Let's say these are the input points, right? What we have done is a warm handoff. And the cool thing is, this is, again, not new. It's just integration. So today, I'm going to take the example of a service desk operation, right? Someone physically calls in real time. I answer the phone, right? Today, in most service desks, even at a lot of universities, there'll be a preset set of questions that they're following, at which point I'm going to take the example of where I can't answer it, but I need the D2L administrator to do that. And I will either hand it off, or I will take the issues information, and then I will do an offline handoff. One is called a warm handoff. The other one is like a cold handoff. What we've done in Yoda is replicate that exact process and say, okay, because of those input points, right, that we can now automate, if Yoda can't answer it, it can either do a warm handoff. And what we did is by using NICE or in contact, which is like an Avaya, it will basically call the agent, I'll say, the person who's the subject matter expert.
So that's a warm handoff means your Yoda is transferring the session to a real person, and they can see the history of the session.
Exactly.
Okay.
They can see the history of the session like they do today, usually if this kind of ecosystem is being used along with a service desk software, right? The telephony system and the service desk software system and Yoda is what we've assumed here in this example I'm giving you, that these integrate so that the session can do a warm live handoff with, let's call it the transcript of the information going to that subject matter expert, who can then basically, from the end user side or the customer side, the experience would be that there's a human, right, who says, okay, you know, sorry, you know, you couldn't answer this question about your grades. You know, I see that this was the issue. Either here's the answer or the follow-up question, right? Or saying, hey, you know what, how can I help you if it's just where the person was just super frustrated out of the gate and it's immediately a warm handoff. That's one way to do it. The other way is to replicate the cold handoff, right? Where maybe the school decides, you know what, it's 5 o'clock, that person is not available, so we are not doing a warm handoff. Then let's collect the information and put it usually into the ticketing system or the service desk software. So when that person comes up at 8 o'clock, they have a ticket, boom, they do a call out the next day.
At our own university, we contract out our tier one support. So have your any of your clients have you interfaced with a third party call center? Is that something that's done typically, or people like to schools like to keep it in house?
Absolutely. So I mentioned before we looked at data and analytics from one of our partners, Black Belt Help, that does exactly that, right? They are a provider for about 200 schools, outsourced, let's call it a tier one basic IT help desk, financial aid, and so on and so forth. The reason why we picked them is because they do more than just IT, right? They do financial aid, registrar-related queries. So we wanted to use that answer bank instead of waiting to go to 200 schools directly. In that case, that's where this Salesforce integration, the NICE in contact, the telephony system integration, we actually leverage them, their data and that infrastructure, to go through this use case that I mentioned of the first time call not being addressed by Yoda, because that use case exists today in the case of service desk providers where you outsource tier one, right? But tier two, tier three issues are typically the responsibility of the institution in those cases. So when we were looking at replicating that ecosystem and that environment and offloading the tier one work, right, from the outsourced vendor, or in the case of the school, if it's in-house, we looked at exactly how that happens and where Yoda can come in to take out essentially the tier one provider. In this case, because the provider is a partner, it was really interesting because they are also looking, ironically, to reduce their own workload because they saw the value add of saying, hey, you know what? We don't even need to be answering these questions, right? We should be getting into more tier two, tier three use cases, as well as just adopting tech that can allow us to scale without adding more humans, even on tier one. So it was actually really, really interesting dialogue where some of these partners even want to divest off of tier one.
I want to be respectful of your time and my audience time, so I think we need to wind it up soon. But just out of curiosity, did you have any issues with the name Yoda? Is that something you had to look into in terms of trademark?
Yeah, very, very, very good. I get that question a lot. So what happened was Yoda was our kind of Project X name at Unified because a bit of humility in realizing, you know, when you're building something that's going to be intelligent, doesn't start that way out of the gate, right? Nor does it sound that way, nor does it operate that way. So it was a kind of pet project name. As we start to work with our development partners, that name stuck and everyone just kept calling it Yoda. The fact that the entire Yoda bot, the interface can all be re-tagged by schools. You know, they can call it whatever
okay,
they want.
I see.
So it just kept this, well, we'll just keep calling it Yoda. And when we did the unveiling just recently at the Learning Management System conferences, we realized, well, firstly, you can tell by the demo that I did, there's just a lot of our developers kind of like the reference. I think a lot of the Spaceballs kind of follow on to that in terms of you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But you know, I think it was just a fun name.
I think you should keep it. I think it would be fun if you if you messed with the grammar and say student you are, you know.
Student you are, right. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, to the point where, you know, it's a continuous work in progress, and hopefully with more schools using Yoda, I think it'll get more and more intelligent. But yeah, I appreciate that question. It was, it's been fun.
Just one more thing. Now, this is fairly recent, so I'm curious in, you know, how the rollout is going. Do you have any customers that are using this live now, or are you just getting going?
We do have some of our schools in beta. And from the conferences where I met you, we have about 10 institutions that have signed up, one of them being a really large R1 institution. We try to vary it up because, you know, if we just pick the R1s, it's going to skew too much. And you know, knowing higher ed, we need to cater to the schools that, you know, don't necessarily have all the investments that the R1s have. But I think with that being said, it just, I think, proves that it is time. I think schools are ready. And by starting with these stepping stones, right, of what do you already have, let's start with integrating with those existing investments. I think that's the value prop that we're seeing really hit home with the schools that came out of the conferences and said, you know what, we want to get started, and here's what we have that, you know, that we want to bring to the fold. I think that's been super exciting. So with that, I would say in the next 3 months, we should have a bit more maturity in terms of Yoda. As you know, I shared that the first year is free just to take out, you know, a lot of the red tape that might come with AI and bot tech and what is this, and, you know, fear of job security and all the things that typically happen. And so we're seeing great uptick in adoption in the development partnership program. And I think in another 3 months, we'll start to have more announcements on use cases that we didn't even think about yet with these development partners.
Well, this has been a real interesting discussion. I was intrigued about your product. Anything that can make the student experience easier, especially as a lot of schools like ours are moving heavily into online, and our students are so mobile. So anyway, this has been great. And I certainly wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much, Rodney. And I appreciate the interest and taking the time to chat with me today.
So that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Check out their website. I have the links on my show notes. Stay tuned for New Soul by Yael Naim. And until next time, have a great week.
Strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake. I cause you don't understand. Everything you have done, why's everything so wrong? This is a happy end, come and give me your hand, I'll take you far away. I'm a new soul, I came to this strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and love feel, finding myself making every possible mistake.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.